All right, and while the children are leaving, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, please. Would you find the book of Hebrews, chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. And once again this morning, I want to focus our attention on just one verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. But first, let's pray together. Father, I want to come to you this morning once again on behalf of this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would stir up in us as a church a hunger for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be single-minded in our passion for you. I pray that you would help us to love you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind. God, I pray that you would keep us from preoccupation with small things. I pray that you would enlarge our souls so they can be satisfied only by you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to teach us that we cannot serve both God and the world. I pray that you would help us, God, to be single in our devotion to you and increasing in our passion for you. God, I pray that you would feed us with passion for God-enhancing truth. Pray that you would fill our minds and increase the affections of our heart for you and for your truth. I pray that you and your glory and your will and your righteousness would be the true desire of our hearts. Father, we ask that you would so work in us that your name and your glory are the desire of our hearts. And so, Father, we pray in your kindness, would you wean us from triviality and from small things in this world, and would you give us a hunger for you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to begin this morning with a shamelessly self-authored and self-written self-interview. A self-written self-interview. Pastor Mike, how long have you been pastoring at Crossway Community Church? Well, it's almost 7 years now. Is there anything you'd rather be doing than pastoring this church? No. How would you describe the people of Crossway? Well, understand that people are at widely different places in their spiritual lives. A lot of brand new Christians at Crossway and a lot of people who've been growing as Christians for many years. But as a whole, I would say that the people of Crossway are very servant-hearted. They are a generous people, generous with their time, generous with their resources. I would say they are eager to receive God's word, and I would say they are growing in their eagerness to apply God's word. I would say they are evidently growing in their love for God. Wow, that sounds like a wonderful group of people. And we know it's not good to have favorites, but is there any particular person in your congregation who would be your favorite? Well, yes, there would be. Would you be free to tell us who that is? Her name is Beverly. And apart from my salvation, I've received no greater gift from God than her. I've also heard you talk about how grateful to God you are for the other pastors and elders. Let's talk about them for a moment. What is the thing that you would most want to characterize the men on the leadership team? Well, there are many things I would want to characterize these men, but I think three things that I would most want to characterize those on the leadership team. One, a genuine passion for God. Two, a genuine love for the people of Crossway. And three, a genuine humility. Who is the best looking guy on the leadership team? Well, humility prevents me from answering that question. There are certain advantages to writing your own interviews. Two final questions. What is your greatest joy in pastoring? My greatest joy is to actually see people's lives being transformed by God through the gospel. People being saved. People growing in their faith. People growing in their obedience. People growing in their joy. People growing in their satisfaction in God alone. My greatest joy is to actually get to see the transformation that God is making happen in people's lives. All right, last question. What has been the most confusing thing to you as a pastor? I would say a Christian who is not growing. Several weeks ago, we began a series of messages entitled Life Together. The purpose of this series is twofold. It's very intentionally designed to provide an extended opportunity for people who have recently come to Crossway to get a sense through this series, to hear what it is that we are pursuing as a church, what we're going after intentionally as a church, what we are purposefully trying to build into our life together as a church. And second, it's also designed to provide an opportunity for those who have been around for a while to be reminded, to have the vision refocused, to regain clarity and commitment and purpose about exactly what being a church means and about what kind of church we are seeking to be. So over the past weeks, we've looked at being on mission together as a church. 2 weeks ago, we looked at praying together as a church. Last week, we looked at worshiping together, what it means to worship together, and why we worship together. And this morning, in fact, for the two Sundays, today and next Sunday, I want to focus another part of our life together as a church, something that we see as very important to our life together as a church, something we want to be very much a part of our life together as a church. We don't want this thing that we're going to talk about today and next week. We don't want this thing to be somehow neglected or somehow left out of our understanding of what it means to live our lives together. And that is our growing together. Our spiritual growth as members of this body and as a body. This morning, I want us to consider our growing together as a church. And while this idea is present either explicitly or implicitly on nearly every page of the New Testament, it is captured here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, in a particularly concise and clear way. Hebrews 10, 24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds." God's word is instructing us as a church right here in Hebrews 10, 24. God's word is instructing us as part of our life together. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. As part of our life together, we are to be engaging in this task, this project, this adventure, this community adventure of encouraging one another in our growth. That is part of God's design for us as a church. I mean, it's very clear that having given us life, God wants us to grow. Think of the images. Think of the emphases in the Bible. God wants us to be like trees, growing, planted by streams of water, flourishing, bearing fruit, Psalm 1. God wants us to be like branches connected to the vine, and out of that vine growing, bearing fruit, John 15. God wants us to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we feed on the truth of His Word, 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 2. And even when growth is evident, even when growth is happening in the church, the New Testament just keeps spurring us on. Just keeps spurring us on. Listen to how the Apostle Paul says this in his letter to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just listen to this. Finally, then, brothers and sisters, we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Verse 9, same chapter. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. The Christian life is not to be sterile. The Christian life is not to be stagnant. The Christian life is not kind of arriving into salvation and then just sitting there. No, it is to be marked by growth, and not just individual growth. Listen to this. This is Paul to the church in Colossae. Paul says, as we stir one another on, as we encourage one another, listen to this, the whole body, nourished and knit together, grows with a growth that is from God. The whole body, nourished and knit together, grows with a growth that is from God. Listen, God has provided all sorts of growth encouragers. He has given us His Word, on which we feed and by which we grow. He has given us His Spirit, who produces growth and bears fruit in our lives. He has given us access to Himself in prayer, where we grow in our faith. But certainly one of the most important things that He's given us is our life together as a body. The members of the body are to be actively involved in one another's growth. God uses the body to produce growth in the body. Yes, there's a sense in which each of us is personally responsible, but one of the main resources for growth that God has provided is the active encouragement, the active involvement of fellow members in one another's lives. And one of the main purposes of the church is the provision of that resource from God. I want to say this loud and clear this morning so that everybody can hear this. We very much want this to be part of our life together as a church. This spurring one another on, this stirring one another up, this encouraging one another in growth together here at Crossway. If you are relatively new, we would want you to be aware of this biblical idea. We would want you to be aware that it is our desire as a church to pursue this biblical idea. We would want you to actively embrace, to lend your strength and to benefit yourself from this actually happening in our life as a church. Please, however long you've been here, please don't say, well, we like coming to Crossway because, well, we like the worship there and we like the preaching there, but that intentionality and seriousness about growth, well, we'll just avoid that. Please don't think that. That is part of, an essential part of our life together. Get in on that. In fact, if you're not interested, if you are content to not participate in that, I think over time, Crossway will be a very uncomfortable place for you to be. In fact, I hope it's a very uncomfortable place for you to be. And the reason I say hope is because God doesn't want Christians to not be growing. So we don't want to be the kind of church where it's possible for someone to be not growing and for that person to be unaware of that or comfortable with that or content with one or two parts of our life together but not benefiting from this major part. Now notice how I say this, please. Not benefiting from this major part of God's design. This major part of God's goodness, God's grace. Listen closely. God's love for you. In the church. We very much want to be growing together, encouraging one another in growth, and by so doing, growing as a body, more and more marked by the characteristics of Christ. That is God's design. That is God's goodness. That is God's grace. Us stirring up one another to love and good works. Now that word in Hebrews 10:24, that word it's actually a very strong word. That word, stirring up. I remember growing up with the King James Version, and that verse went like this. Let's consider how to provoke one another. And that was always a strange word to me, because as a little boy, I heard that word a lot. And when my mother used the word provoke, it was not a good word. Stop provoking your sister. But here in Hebrews 10:24, that is a very positive word. To stir up, to spur on, to rally one another to love and good deeds. And please notice that we are to consider how to do this. We are to be purposefully thinking about how to do this well. How to stir one another up. To what? To love and to good deeds. That, folks, that little phrase is shorthand for growth in Christ's likeness. That is shorthand for sanctification. That is shorthand. It's a summary of the kind of life that God wants us to be growing in. We are to take an active, yes, carefully considered, but active role in encouraging that, promoting that, helping that to happen in one another's lives. There should be a commitment to contributing to one another's growth and by so doing, contributing to our growth together. So the big question this morning, the big question is, are we embracing this as part of our life together as a church? Are you embracing this? Do you see this as part of God's design for our life together? Just like being on mission together is part of our life together, and just like praying together is part of our life together, and just like worshiping together is part of our life together. Do you see this, encouraging one another to grow, as part of God's design? Because it is. It is. And so this morning, I just want to briefly lay out how that happens. What is necessary? What needs to be in place in order for us to do this together, to be growing together, to be considering how we can stir one another up to growth in Christ's likeness? And having laid out these things, after I lay out what needs to be in place, I want to end this morning to just give you an opportunity to do some sober self-assessment about how you're doing. I believe there are four things, as I read my Bible, I believe there are four things that need to be in place in order for there to be a church that is growing together, that is stirring up one another to love and good deeds. And it's the working of these four things together that produces growth. So let's briefly consider each one of these things biblically described. And the first thing is relationship. Relationship. You need to be in relationship. You need to be connected in meaningful, purposeful relationships with others in the body. You cannot be over here by yourself while the body is nourished and being knit together. You cannot somehow be outside of what God is intending to do. You need to be in, somehow connected to the body by means of purposeful, meaningful involvement with other people. Just recently, we've been talking about this as a pastoral team and stressing again the importance of these relationships in our lives. We've taken the time to think again as a pastoral team about the importance of a relationship of consistent openness, accountability, and fellowship with our spouses. That is the primary relationship of accountability and fellowship if you are married. But then other particular relationships where there is the possibility for additional perspective, additional counsel, additional encouragement. There needs to be a commitment to having in your life those kind of relationships. And then we went on to talk about our life together as a team, our pastoral care group, and the meetings when the wives get together and when the men get together and the occasional gatherings when we all get together. It's all about relationships. Being in meaningful relationships. And you got to work at it. It requires a high degree of effort and intentionality. The Apostle Paul talks about how the body is nourished and knit together through its joints, through its points of connection, through the places where the body is connected inside. And these connections are places where God is especially at work administering grace to the body. Not just to those individuals in the relationship, but as these kinds of relationships are present throughout the body, the whole body grows. This is why we do care groups at Crossway. We're trying to create a relational context. So the first thing that needs to be in place, the first essential ingredient to growth, is meaningful relationship that allows for meaningful involvement in one another's lives. No one should be left outside of that interconnectedness. The second thing that needs to be in place is truth. Truth. Words of truth. While relationships kind of provide the context, while relationships provide the setting for growth, truth is the actual growth agent. Truth is the thing that is actually producing the growth. Truth received right here, folks, from God's Word. Truth gained from biblical teaching that takes place in the context of the church. Truth gained from your own reading of the Bible. Truth gained from reading other God-centered, Bible-saturated books. The whole reason for the existence of that bookstore out there is to provide for you God-centered, Bible-saturated books to get truth into you. So read those books. God-centered, Bible-saturated books that will get truth. And I think you've heard me say this before. The mark of a good book is whether or not it makes you want to read your Bible more. So read books that stir in your heart a desire for more truth from God's Word. And now listen what happens. That truth from all of those different sources, Sunday morning teaching, personal Bible reading, reading good books, talking with others about what they're reading, all of that truth now internalized, now having its effect, and portions of God's truth in your mind, carried in your heart, promises from God, instructions from God, truth about God, they now get carried into ordinary life and into those relationships, and they get used on suitable occasions. Which brings us to number three, the third essential ingredient, and that is a willingness to speak. A willingness to speak. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up." How does that happen? Well, we can stir one another up by our example. There's just no question that godly living has the effect of stirring other people up. We can stir one another up by our prayers. But clearly, one of the main ways that it happens is through our carefully considered, gracious speaking. Listen to Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Let no corrupting, let no damaging, let no word that causes decay to come out of your mouth. Only let come out what is helpful for building others up. You see that? Only let come out of your mouth what is helpful for the promotion of growth, for stirring others up. Let come out of your mouth words that are helpful for building others up so that it may give grace to those who hear. God intends to provide grace through our gracious, considered words to one another. Time and time again, the New Testament instructs us to speak to one another. To speak words of encouragement. Not just nice, fluffy words. No, when the Bible says encourage one another, it's talking about a kind of speech that puts something into somebody else's heart that wasn't there before. Faith, hope, courage. To encourage someone. The Bible encourages us to speak words of counsel to one another. To speak words of correction and admonition, to speak words of confession, and then to speak words of forgiveness. There needs to be a willingness to speak God's truth to one another. And then fourth, the fourth thing that is essential is a willingness to hear. A willingness to hear. A quickness to listen. An eagerness to receive, to consider, to apply. In other words, the fourth thing that needs to be in place is humility. Folks, listen. It takes some humility to hear and receive words of counsel from somebody else. It takes some humility to hear and receive words of confession from someone else. It even takes some humility to hear and receive words of encouragement from someone else. And it takes loads of humility to hear and receive words of correction. But those words are essential to growth. It is so sad to me when I see people stuck on self-preservation, stuck on self-defense, stuck on self-sufficiency, who will not hear and who will not receive words of counsel or correction. They might grudgingly grant an occasional point, but what's needed, what's really needed there is a whole new mindset, a whole mindset of humility and receptivity and teachability and a recognition of their need for outside perspective. I received an email this past week, and I have permission to share this with you. I've edited to keep it anonymous, but I tell you, this was an encouraging email this past week. Tuesday, October 11th, Pastor Mike. The sermon last Sunday, teaching about worship, stirred up such a thankful heart toward God and our church body. You see, I have gone through the transformation from self-worship to God-honoring worship right here at Crossway. When we moved here, both my husband and I knew that God was calling us to Crossway. However, we had sin in our hearts as we entered into worship each Sunday. And she goes on to describe the difference between what she had experienced and what she was experiencing here at Crossway and how that produced pride in her heart. This went on for a few months until I shared my feelings with the women of my care group. Relationship. Sanctification was about to happen. A few nights after I had shared what I thought was a legitimate frustration, I received a phone call from my care group leader's wife, a willingness to speak. She asked me where my heart was in regards to worship. She then lovingly shared with me that she thought there might be some pride in my heart. Now notice, she lovingly shared with me that she thought there might be some pride in my heart. At that instant, God broke my heart and allowed me to see my sin for what it really was. I confessed my sin to her as I cried, and then she went on to pray for me, a willingness to hear. From then on, God has been giving both my husband and I a heart for worship here at Crossway. We love it and cherish it. I am so thankful that we worship God the way we do, to sing praises to God with right hearts. Isn't God amazing? I can honestly say that the night that Ann called was the first night I began to receive correction and to seek it out, a willingness to hear. The fact that she called me, even when it was hard for her to reveal the sin that she saw in my heart, shows that she was all for furthering the gospel and not for protecting herself. Now that is life together. Praise be to God. Actually, praise be to God, 19 exclamation points. You know what I hear when I read that? I hear someone who just had a growth spurt because of a willingness to hear. And that just positions that person for more growth. You know what, folks? You can actually get good at growing. You can actually be skilled. You can actually know how to grow. Getting the right things in your life. And one of the main things that God uses is other members of the body. You get connected in a local church. You get connected to a care group. You get connected with some other believers. And it's like you've got your own little packet of Miracle-Gro. Listen, if these things are in place, you know what? You're gonna grow. People who grow are engaged. They're plugged in. They're in relationships and they're paying attention there. And they've got the word coming in and circulating around in their lives. And they're willing to speak when God prompts them. They have faith for that. And they're willing to hear. They have the humility for that. They love God. And they love the church. And they are growing, and it is a powerfully compelling witness to the transforming power of God in the gospel. So that's how it works. That's what's necessary. That's what needs to be in place. That's part of, a big part of, our life together as a church. And so in closing, I just want to ask, how you doing here? I want to provide a moment for you to do some very specific self-assessment. Grade yourself. What grade would you give yourself when it comes to relationship? Are you in meaningful relationships? Ask yourself, am I? Am I in meaningful relationships? Are you positioning yourself for meaningful relationships? Are you positioning yourself in your meaningful relationships for meaningful involvement in those relationships? How are you doing there? Give yourself a grade. What grade would you give yourself when it comes to God's truth being present in your life? Do you have a personal life in the Word? Are you receiving and applying and benefiting from God's Word as it's taught on Sunday mornings? Are you? Really? What grade would you give yourself when it comes to having truth in your life? What grade would you give yourself when it comes to a willingness to speak? Do you believe that God wants to use your words for the building up of other people? Do you have faith that God will, in fact, use your words in that way? Are you considering your words carefully when you speak? Are your words marked by grace? What grade would you give yourself there? And finally, perhaps most challenging, what grade would you give yourself when it comes to a willingness to hear? Is there a recognition of your need for others to speak? Is there an understanding of the goodness of that that makes you eager, makes you want to hear? Is there a humility when you do receive words? Is there anyone in your life who can freely speak to you, who can inquire freely about your motives and about your actions without you getting defensive? You know, when I think about the difference between Solomon and David, David had a Nathan who spoke to him and to whom he listened. There is no record of anyone confronting Solomon. What would have become of David had he not had and had he not listened to Nathan? And what might have become of Solomon had he had and had he listened to a Nathan? More important, what's going to become of you? Do you have people that speak to you? And is there on your part a willingness to listen? Give yourself a grade there. I guess ultimately the question this morning is, are you growing? Are you participating in and benefiting from this part of our life together? Folks, God has given us a wonderful gift in one another. So let us receive that gift and let us use that gift as God designed it to be used as we grow together for His glory. Amen. As we consider this part of our life together, I just would encourage you to be doing two things, both while we sing and after we sing. I just would encourage you to be doing these two things. First of all, appropriately looking at your life under the spotlight of God's Word, and then at the same time, rejoicing that God has provided in Christ all that we need for life and godliness. And so conviction, good thing, gift of God, but attached to godly conviction always is hope and confidence and gratitude that God has provided everything we need. So let us at the same time do what God's Word calls us to do, to look at our lives, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any way in me that is not what you would have it to be, and lead me in the everlasting way, and at the same time rejoicing that God has in Christ, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give you everything that you need? Let's stand together.
We grow and live to the praise of God's glory. So let's sing to Him now, give Him praise. And as we sing, we also exhort one another. So in our singing before God, let's also sing to the encouragement of one another.
All creatures of our God.